If you guys would turn to Luke chapter 18, I want to share a message tonight. But this is just to start off tonight. One of the largest organizations in America is the Quitters Club. The reason you've never heard of the Quitters Club is because they never meet the member. The members quit. They quit coming. There are no dues. The members quit paying them. The Quitters Club is compromised of people who faced a tough job, a tough marriage, a tough sickness, or a tough failure, and they quit. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. But when the going gets tough, the quitters get going away. What we need in America and in the church are people who will exhibit good old-fashioned stick-to-itness, even though that's not a word. But it needs to be. I had a video of to show was, and I posted it. You can go to Facebook, go to my Facebook page later and look at it. You don't do it now, but you can look at it later. Go to my Facebook page. I posted a video of a little boy. He was maybe 3 or 4 years old, trying to push a bale of hay off the back of a truck. Some of you may have seen it. Anyway, the kid wouldn't quit. He just kept hitting it, kept going at it, kept changing positions, kept trying until he got that thing pushed off of that truck. And that bale of hay had to outweigh him by 3 or 4 times. But his attitude was awesome because he wouldn't quit. He was going to get it done. He was going to get it pushed off of the truck. And so he wasn't going to quit. And so what I want to talk about today is having an attitude that is whatever it takes, not to quit, but to stick with it. Whatever God's called us to do, whatever God's called you to do, whatever position you've committed to, whatever place, whatever thing you've put your hand to that you know in your heart God has called you to. Let me tell you something. When you put your hand to something that God has called you to do, there are going to be times when everything in you wants to quit. Trust me, I know. There's going to be times when it even seems like Jesus to quit. But it is not. Because the moment you start thinking of taking a step towards that, you will feel it in your spirit. You will know. Besides the fact that you can go back to the original word that God said, do this. And he didn't tell you. You know, God told me one time, our Bible college had a split, basically, in the middle of the time that I was there. One group went to one place and teachers and students, and one stayed, and it was a disagreement and the thing that happened, and it was a big deal, and it was really hard on everyone. It was tough on everyone, and that's since been reconciled and repented of and all come back together and all that stuff. But when it happened, it was hard, and it was really hard to know what to do. Do I go here? Or do I stay? Do I go to the other place, or do I stay here? I love these people, and I love these people, and I don't know where to go. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. All those thoughts happen. And the one thing I can distinctly remember at that time, when I prayed, when I sought God, when I pressed into prayer, was Him speaking to me so clearly and saying, "Did I tell you to go anywhere else? Did I change what I told you to do?" And I was like, "No. You told me to stay at this place." So that's what I did. I did it because He didn't change my direction. And I knew that. And so sometimes, most times, you can't go on feeling at all. You got to go on, number one, what the Word of God says and what you know He says and what He said specifically to you. If it's a prophetic word, if it's Him speaking to your heart, if it's you making a commitment to something for Him, stick to itness. Even though it's not a word, it should be. We need it. We need it in America again. Everybody quits everything. Within the church, everybody quits everything. It's a part of our culture. That's the problem. But we need to get back to the attitude and the heart and the mindset of sticking to it, of following through, of no matter how impossible it seems, pressing through whatever it is. There's four stories in Luke 18 that I wanted to share with you. So Luke 18, the first is the parable of the persistent widow. And basically, I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this, so you can read the whole chapter of Luke 18 if you want to. But starting in verse 1 is the parable of the persistent widow. And in this parable, Jesus says, I'll read some of it. It says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Not lose heart means not quit. Saying, there was a certain city, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, the Son of Man comes. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? You know, this is talking about a judge who's not just and a widow who's coming to him continually for justice, for him to do something. And Jesus is saying he doesn't regard God. So he doesn't have, I mean, basically saying he doesn't have morals and integrity. He's not concerned about God and his decisions and his judgments. And he's doesn't really care what people think. Doesn't really care if he's pleasing them or not. And this lady's just continually coming to him. And after this steadfastness, this stick-to-itness, this continual coming, this I don't know what word I'm looking for, but anyway, she just continually is battering after him. Just like the little boy. I know we didn't get to show the video, but just like the little boy, just continuing to hit the bale of hay and continuing to push until he got it done. She continually does that to get the justice that she's going for. And Jesus is sharing this parable, and he's saying, you know, men, we ought to not lose heart. We should stick to it. We should continue to pray and not give up. But you can apply this principle not just to prayer. You can apply this principle to everything in life. If we put our hand to something, do we not, and well, let me say this, should we not pray about everything that we're doing in life? Big decisions, little decisions, our daily walk, every morning, whatever. It's what we're taught. It's what we know. It's what's right. So if we pray about it, and the principle applies that we pray about it and we should stick to it and not quit and not lose heart, should we not apply the same principle to following through on that thing? With action. With trying. Now, we might have to adjust our shoulder and push a different way. We might have to put our foot in a different spot. We might have to come from a different angle. But you know what? We keep trying. God is the God of impossibility. He, as we said earlier, if he says the sky is green, it turns green. He's our daddy. And he says, Jesus said in here, he said, he bears long with them, he says, nevertheless, actually, hold on, let me back up. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? though he bears long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man... So he's saying, Jesus, when he comes back, he's coming a second time. Will he find faith on the earth? Okay, so we're talking about a story here where he's saying, don't lose heart. Where he's saying, continue to pray, stick to it. And then he asks a question. When I come back, the Son of Man is Jesus. When I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Yes, he will. What is faith on the earth? Sticking to it. Faith is pressing in, is pressing forward, is continuing to move on the thing that God's called us to do. It's doing something. Not just praying, but praying and doing. See, often in the church world now and in our society now, we got it off. We think everything is polarized. We think everything, like Paula's video last week, we think everything is either one or the other. It is not one or the other. It is prayer and do something. It is prayer and faith. It's we pray about it. If you need a job, you pray about it and then you go put an application in. You know what I'm saying? You got to do something. You look at it through Scripture. Every time God told somebody to do something, he told Moses to go put his staff in the water. Told him to hold his hands up to win the battle. Just think about all of the examples in there where he said to do some small little thing and then God did the big thing. Like the staff in the water. God parted the sea, the staff Moses didn't. All of the plagues and the stuff that happened in Egypt, God did all that, but Moses went and talked to Pharaoh and did something before that. So it's pray, have a relationship, talk to God, pray about it, and then go do something. Stick to it. If it doesn't work the first time, keep hitting the bale of hay. Keep going at it. Keep trying. The second story is a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And basically in this, in the temple, you got the Pharisee and the tax collector, and they're both in there. And the Pharisee is the one in society who knows the Scripture, is high and mighty, who's got his nose up in the air and thinks he knows everything and knows Scripture and knows God. And the tax collector in their day and time was the scourge of society, was the one that nobody wanted anything to do with, was, I don't even know what to equate him to in our day and time. I mean, everybody hated the tax collector more than we hate the IRS now. They were looked at like worse than child molesters. Or as bad. So, yeah, there you go. Mix the two together and you got it. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, the people hated them. Because oftentimes they would come, they had the duty from the Roman government to collect taxes, and they didn't always do that correctly and right. They would take what they wanted to. They would take extra for themselves. So people did not like them. Besides the fact that they were taking their money for taxes for Rome, they are also doing it wrong, most of them. So they were viewed as a very low, bad thing. So you got these two guys, he's telling this story, you got the tax collector in the temple praying, and you got the Pharisee in there praying, and the Pharisee is the one that's looking over at the tax collector and thinking, why is he here? And the tax collector never looks up in the story. He's looking down the whole time. So let me point something out here. The tax collector in there, and it talks about it, you know, God is looking at him and he's receiving his prayer. He's looking at him because he's humble. Let me read it. The parable of the Pharisee and tax collector. So in verse 9 of chapter 18. And also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. So he's over there praying and saying, at least, God, I thank you that I'm not like him. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus is speaking now, talking about these two. Well, he's talking about the tax collector. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house, the tax collector, justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Number one, let me point something out. Just like the persistent widow, she was persistent to go after what she wanted. Jesus told that parable. This tax collector, the scourge of society, you got to think, what would it feel like for him to walk into the church? Think about it. He's in the church in this parable, and the Pharisee beside him is praying to God and saying, thank you, God, I'm not like him. If that's not persistence to even be in the building, I don't know what is. And then Jesus says, this man who humbled himself is the one that God looked at with favor and mercy and blessing. Not the guy who exalted himself. Because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. He emptied himself. The tax collector emptied himself. He wasn't full of selfishness. Let me point something out to you, and I want to move on to the next story. If you're walking around with a bucket, and you're like the Pharisee, Pharisee's walking around with a bucket, selfish. What does it say here? And to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Right? So if my bucket is full of me, me, me. If my bucket is full of what I want. I want retirement. I want a higher paying job. I want a new car. I want whatever. You fill in the blank. But your bucket is full of me, me, me. If my bucket is full of me, 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 I want. And I'm looking down on other people, and my bucket's full of what I want. How can God feel that? We're exalted. We've exalted ourselves when our bucket's full. We humble ourselves by emptying our bucket. Because then God can fill it. When our bucket's empty, God can fill it. When we humble ourselves, when we stick to it, when we believe Him for everything He wants, when we ask Him to fill our bucket, when we empty our bucket of me, 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 and we can't quit complaining about what the, you know, this person and that person did, and this person in our family or that church or whatever, when we quit that mess, when we quit trying to be like the disciples' story too, where they were, well, I want to be at the right hand, I want to be the one at the top, when we empty all that selfishness out, then God's got something to fill up. And let me tell you something else. When we've humbled ourselves and let Him exalt us, and we've got the stick to it in our heart, and we've decided to go for it and to stick to it, you know what? Whatever it is that is important to us, that we really love and we really want, we're going to do it. That's how we're made. Let me give you an example. As a man, when it comes to eating dinner, I will go get a frozen pizza and I will throw it in the microwave. And in a few minutes, I will have eaten and I'm happy if Paul is not around. But if I want to hunt, I'll cut down trees, mow a field, rig up an electric chair that will climb the tree for me and put me up in the top. Do you get what I'm saying? If you want it, you'll put effort into it. Does that make sense? Whatever it is for you that you love to do, that you like, you will put effort into. And all of us know what those things are that we put effort into. So let me ask you, what's this bucket full of? Is it full of me, me, me? Is it full of the stuff I want, you want? And then let me ask you, are you willing to empty it to let Him fill it? Let me tell you something. He's not going to make us give up stuff we like to do. But at the same time, He's not going to fill our full bucket. Now that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any more sense than he who humbles himself will be exalted, and he who exalts himself will be humbled. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's God's way. It's about a relationship with Him. What I'm saying is you've got to empty the selfishness out of your bucket so that He can fill it with His presence, with the things that He wants. And He will still let us enjoy the things that we like to do. But I ask you this question right now here today. What is your bucket full of? Is your vehicle perfect, pristine, gorgeous, always everything out, neat as a pin, and your yard? And is your things at your job in order? And is your guns perfectly cleaned? And is your vacuum always the best one there is? And are your tools always the premium tools? And you know what I'm saying? Do you get where I'm going with this? If it's a video game console, is it always the best one? And do you always have the newest game? Do you get where I'm going? Is your bucket full of self? Is there any room in there for Jesus? Is there any room in there for His presence? Let me tell you a secret. Empty your bucket of selfishness. Let God fill it with His presence. And there still be room for your stuff. You know what Jesus often said? To him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. You'll get that if the Holy Spirit is in you. And if you don't get it, then you need to talk to Jesus today. Seriously. You need to ask Him either to come into your heart or to unplug your ears. Fill you with His Holy Spirit. Something. So this widow was persistent. She stuck to it. Pharisee and the tax collector stuck to it. He was coming to the temple to pray where people hated him. Where people didn't like him. But he still came. Jesus, the next story, and I'm going to paraphrase here. I'm not going to read it. The children were trying to come to him, and the disciples themselves even were saying, no, you keep the children away. Everywhere Jesus went, people were always, there oftentimes, most of the time, people were trying to bring the children, their children, to Jesus. Trying to bring their kids to him, like in this story here. They were trying to get their kids to Jesus. Let me tell you why this is an issue. In their culture, just like the tax collector was so bad in their culture, children were looked at as second-class citizens. They were to be shuffled off to the side, kept out of sight, all that kinds of stuff. Not be up in the middle of stuff. Some of this is familiar. What did Jesus do? Let the little kids come to me. Eventually, they were sitting on his lap. Let the little kids come to me. Because such as these are the ones who are going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Those who are like these little children. That's what he says there. The kids, I don't know anything more persistent than a kid. Now, y'all with kids, you know what I'm talking about. You can say no 50 times and have to say it 150 more. And eventually, they're still going to get it. One way or another, sooner or later. No matter how hard you plant your feet, they're going to keep asking. These children finally made their way to Jesus' lap. And they sat with him. And he said, such as these people like be like them. They're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Be like them. Why? They're persistent. But what would they be persistent about? Getting to Jesus. The parable about the widow was just to illustrate being persistent about the things of God. Persistence. Keep going after Jesus. And if you're going after the wrong stuff, fix it. Stop. Turn around. Start going after Jesus. If you have to take the deer stand down for a little while, do it. I'm just using that as an illustration. But you get my point. Whatever that thing is, you got to realize an idol is not just a little wooden statue. It's anything that's more important than God to us. Don't have any other gods before me. Don't have anything above him, anything more important than him. If we do, we're self-absorbed, our bucket's full of self, and we're going to do everything that our flesh wants to do. We're going to do the things that we enjoy and the things that we want to do, and God's going to just basically get a little bit on the top. He might get the church visit and some prayer every now and then. And if we're in that place, we're out of sorts. We're off. We're self-absorbed if we're there. Our bucket is full of self. And it's got to be emptied. And we're lacking the stick-to-it thing. We're lacking persistence. Why do you lack persistence? Well, the thing that sucks persistence out of us is self-absorption, selfishness, being full of self. Because you know what it causes? It causes laziness. It causes laziness towards the things of God. A persistent attitude is a sign of an empty bucket. A persistent attitude towards God is a sign of an empty bucket. A non-persistent attitude or a lazy attitude is a sign of a full of selfishness bucket. We can make it that simple. We can make it real simple. If we're lazy towards the things of God and we're full of the things that we want to do and we're doing those things and we're focused on those things, then our bucket's full of selfishness. But let me tell you something about an empty bucket. When it's empty and we let God fill it, when we empty ourselves of selfishness and we push that stuff away and we get rid of it and we say, God, my bucket's empty, fill it up. And we humble ourselves like the tax collector did. And we come persistently like the children did. And we come persistently like the widow did. And we choose to do that. And we choose to come to Him persistently with an empty bucket. He will fill it up. And when He does, guess what? It will be full, and it will never be too full. Because with Him, there's always room for more. With His presence, with His anointing, with His joy, with His love, with His gentleness, with all of the things that are God, there's always room for more in the bucket. Why? Because He's God. He can do whatever He wants, and He will. And He does, and He loves us, and He'll continue to put more in and more in and more in and more in. And we're made as human beings to always crave something. No matter where we are in life, you can think about this. If it's a person on the street holding a sign, asking for money and food, or if it's a person on Wall Street making millions of dollars, they're never satisfied. As human beings, we are made to always want more. And if we're selfish and self-absorbed and our bucket's full of self and what we want, then our bucket gets full and we're never satisfied and our bucket's full and it can't be any more put in it. It reaches a point where it can never get any more. But with God, when our bucket's empty and He fills it with Him, it will always continually be filled with more and more and more. Why? Illustration. Think about in the Old Testament when the angels were around the throne of God and for eternity that talks about them crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And then they duck their heads and then they come back up and they see a new facet of God, something different. And they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." And they're like wild. And then they go back down and they come up and do it again. And they're doing it for eternity. Why? Because their bucket's getting put something new in it every single time. What does the scripture say? My cup runneth over. He will always fill us with more. We are created to crave, but we choose what we crave. We either crave selfishness and our selfish desires and what we want, or we choose to crave Jesus. And if we don't choose to crave to empty our bucket of self and selfishness and crave Jesus, we will be selfish and have a bucket full of self. There is no in between. There is no middle ground. If you think you're in the middle ground, you're in the bucket full of selfishness. That's what you're carrying around. There is no middle ground. It's one or the other. There is no in between. Last story. I'm going to close with this story. And this is all in line in the same chapter, verse 18 in Luke. Jesus, the very next story, counsels the rich young ruler. He says, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Let me give you a background real quick. In our day and time, this guy that's asking this question, this rich young ruler, would be equivalent to the guy that, I guess, what a lot of us would call a yuppie. He would come in here driving a BMW with dressed to the hilt and, you know, $500,000 house or more. Just, this is a guy who's wealthy, right? Okay, so he's coming to Jesus and he's saying, "Now what do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." The rich ruler replied that. And then he says, then it says, "So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was rich." What did Jesus just tell him to do? Empty your stinking bucket. He was holding on to selfishness. We can be wealthy. I'm not saying that. We can have stuff. I'm not saying that. That's not what Jesus was saying. This particular man was coming and he was holding on to his wealth. And he chose in that moment to hold on to his stuff rather than receive eternal life. Rather than do what Jesus said to do. Rather than empty his bucket and humble himself, he chose to keep his full bucket and not give anything for Jesus to fill. When he came and said, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" See, he came with an attitude that was, "I just want to put one more thing in my bucket. I got all this stuff and I like it. And I'd really like to have that eternal life too. Can I? How do I get that?" And in the church world today, that still happens. We do that. I've done that before. We've done that before. We come, I just, "God, I want that too." But he says, "Empty all that selfish stuff out and let me fill your bucket up." With what? With me. With him. With his presence. With the Holy Spirit, with anointing, with calling, with all of the good things that God has called us to do. And with that empty bucket that is then filled with his presence and anointing comes an attitude of stick to it till you get it. I struggle to pray. I struggle to read my Bible every day. I struggle to spend time with Jesus. I struggle to witness. I struggle to do all the things that are a part of the kingdom of heaven that I want in my bucket. Well, if that's the case, your bucket's full. Empty the thing and let him fill it up. Because if he fills it up, it comes with the attitude to stick to it. It comes with him, the anointing, the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I'm not just talking about salvation on this bucket. Because we can be saved 30 years and still have put stuff in our bucket that takes up room that he is supposed to fill, that causes that laziness towards him, that causes that lack of persistence. And even get to a point where we become completely lazy and completely lacking of persistence. If you guys would stand up, I want to close here. We have got to choose. He gave us the choice. We can be selfish, and we can fill our bucket, so to speak, with the stuff we want to do. Or we can empty ourselves of the stuff we want to do and let him fill us. And we still get to do stuff we want to do. But the issue is off when we're focused on the stuff. You know where it's wrong? It's when we do the stuff we want to do first and then put God last. That's where it's messed up. That's where the bucket's full and then he just gets the leftovers on top. He's over here looking in your bucket for a place to put. Do you get what I'm saying? He's looking for a space. It don't work like that. The rich young ruler walked away sorrowful because he wouldn't empty his bucket. He wouldn't give all his stuff away and come and follow Jesus. That's what he said. He said, go sell everything you have to the poor and then come and follow me. He chose not to. That means we can choose not to. These stories also illustrate that we can even be at a certain place in time when we choose him and we empty ourselves and we let him fill our bucket and we're going after him, and then somewhere along the way it starts to change and the bucket starts filling up with selfishness again. And we got to go back and look in the bucket and dump it again and say, God, fill that back up with you. You know what I'm saying? And so today I just want to pray. And I want you to close your eyes and just ask Jesus, and right here, right now, in your own way, you and him, take a moment, take a few moments, and say, Jesus, what is in my bucket? What is in my heart? What is it in my heart that's more important than you? You know what? In most cases here, he doesn't even have to show you that. You already know. I already know. So take a moment and say, Jesus. I mean, if you want to. Now, you can be like the rich young ruler and you can walk out of here and not do this. That's up to you. That's your choice. But I encourage you today to not do that. Take this moment in time right here, right now, and ask Jesus, instead of walking away sorrowful, empty that bucket. Get rid of that stuff. Make a choice to say, Jesus, you're more important than whatever it is that you love and you like. Whatever it is that's in the way of that relationship with him, whatever it is that's in the way of your calling, whatever it is, just talk to Jesus. Take a moment and say, Jesus, please forgive me for putting that thing or those things in front of you. And as an act of faith right now, I just hold my hand up like I'm holding a bucket. And I say, Jesus, I'm emptying my bucket right here, right now. I want it empty of everything that's selfish, anything that is of me, anything that is in the way of you. And then just take a moment and just turn that back up and say, Jesus, I want you to fill my heart, my bucket. I want you to fill me with your presence, with your anointing. Fill me up. put in me the things you want in me. Give me that stick to it heart to press through, to go for it, to make it happen, whatever it is, to fulfill everything you've called me to do, to fill me with your love, to fill me with your heart. Let me encourage you guys with something I feel like God's saying. Jesus stuck to it. He prayed in the garden, God, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And he went to the cross. He stuck to it. Do you know he's still sticking to it? He's still calling out to you and me. He's still reaching out to us. He's still forgiving us. He's still loving us. He will never stop doing that. His bucket is empty of selfishness. And he wants you and me. He loves us. He died for us. He stuck to it for you. He stuck to it for me. He's sticking to it. He's pressing through. He's continuing on. In spite of the suffering and in spite of us and our disobedience and in the times when we turn our back, in the times when we do wrong, in the times when we hurt him, he still loves us. He still sticks to it. He doesn't quit. Don't quit. Don't walk away like the rich young ruler. Let Jesus fill your bucket. But go to him. Make sure that relationship is number one in your life, my life. Make sure that there's nothing above him in what you say and do and what I say and do. You know, we read these stories and we look at people like this story about the tax collector and him looking at the Pharisee and the tax collector. We look at that and we look at what the Pharisee said about the tax collector standing beside him praying and him looking at the tax collector and saying, thank God I'm not like him. But we do that kind of stuff. And then it just doesn't register somehow. We do it. And just as much as we do that, we can choose to go to Jesus and be filled with him, filled with his spirit, filled with his love, filled with his presence. We can choose to pray. We can choose to reach out to people and pray for them and share the gospel. Just like pushing that bale of hay and just like sticking to it, what if we applied, what if you and I applied that attitude to winning the lost? What if today you and I chose to stick to it like Jesus does and continue to reach out, to pray for people, to share the gospel? To love. Father God, I thank you for today, God. And I just ask you to bless everyone here tonight, God. And I ask you that you would encourage all of us. You would encourage our hearts tonight. that you would speak to us, God, that you would show us those places in our hearts and minds, God, that need to be renewed. The renewing of our minds, God. Let that happen tonight. God, I pray for us as just an extra release of the renewing of the mind tonight. And that you would pull, as we're willing, that you would pull the things out of our heart that are in the way. And that you would put in us more of you, more of your love, more of your passion, more of your zeal, more of your presence, God. And that you would put in us that aggressive attitude of stick to it, that aggressive attitude of persistence for the things of the kingdom of heaven. And let the stuff of this world be scattered like these animals on the floor. Just let it be scattered away. Because God, there's the things that you put in us, the things that you put before us, the things that you call, those are the only things that are eternal. We can't take that other stuff with us. So Father, I just ask you tonight to bless, to touch, to encourage, and to pour into our minds and hearts, God, the word that you're speaking and the words that you want to speak, and that you would put that aggressive attitude into us to go after the things of the kingdom of heaven, to go after you, Jesus, to go after your presence, to go after the lost. In Jesus' name.